Welcome, everyone. I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Stephanie, can you go ahead and take the roll call?
Joyce Still.
Here.
Sue Suter.
Here.
Deb Ruch.
Here.
Mike Smith.
Here, sorry.
Phil Krein.
Here. All right, thank you. Any changes, edits to the agenda? Hearing none, let's have a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we have an agenda. And at this point, it's already time for citizen input and public participation. So do we have anybody who would like to offer any citizen input? Dale, sure. Just introduce yourself for the record and we'll go from there.
Dale Morrissey, Developmental Services Center. Again, I know you got a full agenda, so I'll be real quick, but I wanted to let you know that House Bill 5931, which is the DFP living wage bill, again, it, you know, there's things that are so crazy in Springfield, but today is the rumor that it's going to get voted on. And so if it's similar, last week there was a bill for some home health worker type things that did get put passed through, and again, it was passed on all Democrats voting yes and Republicans voting no. But if they got the people, it was supposed to have been called last week, but there were three people that didn't make it to the committee, so they wanted to make sure they had the vote. So hopefully today, who knows, it could get derailed, but who knows what's going to happen in this political environment, but I think that we've got it much further than we ever thought this year, and it's at least there for attention and considerations as far as negotiations, we hope. And so anyway, I thank all of you for your support. I know many of you have sent in and talked with your representatives, and that's why it's got as far as it has. So thank you.
Thanks, Dale. And of course, that's just one step in a long process, but an extremely important one. Any other citizen input? Okay. There is some information in our packets that has the minutes from the Mental Health Board meeting. Any other Mental Health Board input? Mark, yeah.
If I may, just a moment. Susan's not here today because she's busy with something at the university, but I just wanted to kind of update the board on where we are with the ED search process. Just very briefly, just to take a minute.
Sure, absolutely no problem. I mean, we'll have some more time in old business, but at this point, yes, love to have a short update.
Should I wait for old business?
No, go ahead and give us a little bit of an update now. That's fine.
Okay. Basically, we've reached out to many state, national, DD, and mental health organizations, associations. We're still trying to broaden our reach, especially in the area of mental health. Ads have been placed in the Springfield paper and the News Gazette. We've started to receive some applications. Some good applications, and we're hoping that we can continue with our timeline of closing the application process by June 7th, but that's yet to be determined because we are, like I said, trying to broaden our reach. And basically, that's about it. Mike, is there anything else I missed? Okay.
All right, thank you. Anything else related to the Mental Health Board at this point? Okay, we'll go on ahead. We need to approve our minutes, and at this point, let me entertain a motion to approve. Sue?
Second.
Second from Joyce. Any changes, corrections, issues in the minutes? All right, hearing none, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are passed. All right, at this point, it's time for my remarks, and I have more to say than usual because I wanted to summarize some of the finance with respect to the questions that were received at the last meeting. But I also wanted to mention that, our search got a little bit delayed, which was in some ways unfortunate. At the same time, everything has a silver lining. The fact that a bunch of agencies in the state are beginning to shut down actually means that there are a lot of very experienced senior people looking for interesting opportunities. So we are actually, I'm sensing we're getting a very intriguing statewide candidate pool as a result. And we'll see more about that later. But, somebody else's loss may be our gain. We'll find out. I do want to thank all the board members and the staff for all their efforts in evaluating and vetting the funding requests and the financial details. We've had some helpful citizen input by email and some other things as well. I think that's been quite a bit. Last meeting, of course, I promised to give some detail on the question of what can we afford to provide. And indeed, all the information is in your packet. I decided to go ahead and kind of summarize it in one table. There are no new numbers here. They're all from the booklet. But just so we can get a sense of how those come together, I've provided the board members and support with this little one-page table. And let me go ahead and just outline this. The projected income from the various tax levies associated with the DD board and our interest income, a very long number with lots of digits, but $3.69 million is the projected income. We're also looking at a staff recommendation that DD activities allocated to the mental health board total about $633K. As you remember, we have a certain expense allocation, so when we add together all the administrative expenses and things related to that, and then look at our board share at 42.15%, then our share of that is $354,000. And when you put those numbers together, you see that we basically have available to us about $3.967 million to allocate to programs. Okay. Now I'm going to jump ahead. Our total requests, okay, the number down there is 4.013 million. That's the number we saw last time. I don't want to get confused, though, because in addition is the 50K that we allocate annually to our own Scylla project. So basically, in effect, the funding request is 4.063 million, okay? So the good news is those numbers really aren't all that far apart. Roughly $100,000, a little bit less than that. So it's not nearly as, it certainly is more requests than we have funds for, but it's not nearly as much of a pressure situation as we were very concerned about last time. And we've asked the staff to go through this, and I think we've had some other input. The recommendation is somewhat less, okay, down here on the bottom line, which you'll be able to find on page 22 in your packet, is 4.048 million, okay, which means that we are being proposed to approve a deficit of about $82,000. Mike and I have spent a lot of time with the cash flow and the bank account. The details of what actually has happened in the last couple of years, and we're very comfortable with that number. There shouldn't be any issue with that. It's not going to spend us in ultimately into the red or anything like that. We can afford to go a little bit beyond that. One of the motivating factors behind that, and we'll talk about this as it comes up, is based on some of the input we had from last meeting and some of the discussion from the providers, I think many of us believe that there's a need for a small emergency fund associated with respite or some of these really difficult cases that we've seen come through over the last year. So we tried very hard to carve out a small amount, 50K, to help deal with that. The challenge is, of course, we don't have a proposal for that, and it's got to go through, appropriate providers so that they make the decisions, and we're not immediately allocating that to providers, but we're trying to hold that and make sure that we have that. So that actually is a significant part of that modest deficit, but I think it's something that is important to us. So I'd love to jump right ahead and start with the budget on page 24, which has that projected income and expense allocation for our approval, and we'll get there, okay? But I want you to understand as we go through these kind of page by page that that's where we're headed, okay? So, keep that in mind. That's what's behind this. So the questions about can we afford this or not, you know, that table on page 22 walks through it in some depth, but I wanted to make sure that that was clear. The other thing I wanted to mention is last Thursday there was a presentation in town by Alan Bergman, who is a former executive with the ARC organization in several different states. And by the way, Sue, he said to say hello. I'm sure you know him very well. He now works as a consultant in this field, gave a really interesting and very challenging presentation showing, for example, you know, giving case histories of some people who we would have assumed were completely unemployable, who in fact have community employment, talking about living arrangements that people have been able to put together for some of the more difficult cases, and the notion that these are quite cost effective. And I'll remind everybody that the average cost to put someone in the disability community in a state institution in Illinois is about $250,000 a year. And we can do better. The community-based services are substantially less than that on the average, and probably almost for every individual as well. So, you know, these really are compelling issues, and he continued to remind us about the changes in federal law over many years that have better defined civil rights for people with disabilities. So I'm excited to have learned about that. And Jen, when you have some time, you might even you know, want to elaborate on that a little bit. But those are my remarks for now, and we'll come back later during board announcements. But I think we're almost ready to go through our allocations. But Peter, at this point, your comments and report.
Actually, Phil, 250 doesn't sound that bad. I thought it was more like 400, but 400,000.
Well, that's the average, right? Including the ones that are real easy. So,
well, as the population goes down in those places, the per diem goes up. So, I just wanted to make a few comments, and this board is not meeting in June, so this will be my last meeting as executive director for. You know, my last meeting, actually. I may be around in July to help with transition stuff, but this is, actually, Mike and I were reminiscing a little bit about the start of this, and, you know, I think some of you who don't know the history, to reminisce a bit, this goes back to about 2002, when Dale Morrissey and I had a conversation. I'd been to Springfield and had heard about something called a backdoor referendum for a DD board, and we started to talk about that and discovered that the backdoor referendum wasn't such a good idea, that the front door was the better way to go. And actually, starting with that, the guy who deserves the credit for this board is Dale Morrissey. He and DSC and a lot of volunteers. I did do some volunteering, but I was limited in terms of what I could do because of the fact that I was already on a public board. And but I had opportunities to help out and knock on doors as a human being. I like to think about where this community would be given where the state of Illinois went in 2004 when this board started, or when 2005, I guess, was the first year. I don't think anybody could have predicted what's happened. You know, over the years, that roughly close to $40 million probably has gone to support services for people with disabilities in this community. And I can't even imagine where we would be at this point, what this community would look like if it wasn't for this board and the work that it's done. So it's been a pleasure to serve on this board and also on the mental health board, and I will miss it. It's been a good ride, and I've really benefited personally with what I've seen in the development of services and supports for people with disabilities. So thank you all very much, and I look forward to working with you in my next life.
Thank you, Peter. Our agenda shows our staff report says deferred, but Lynn, did you want to say anything really quickly, or is there anything to mention? I know I forgot
to mention. Can't say anything quickly. Yes. I'm not good at summarizing, so I'll just say that. Tomorrow, 10 to 1 o'clock here in this room is the family advocacy event. Is that?
Know Your Options.
Starring the court monitor from the Ligas case, and we're going to talk to her a little bit before the meeting. So anyway, I think that's a really important conversation for this entire community, not just for families who are waiting. So maybe I should stop there.
Okay.
Okay.
By the way, the other thing I forgot that I wanted to mention during my remarks is the new county administrator is here visiting, and why don't you step up and introduce yourself?
Thanks, Phil. My name's Rick Snyder. As Phil mentioned, the new county administrator. I've been on the job for about 1 month now. Yesterday was my first month anniversary, so I've been learning a lot here and look forward to working with everyone. And if I like to make myself available if anyone like to reach out and talk about any issues related to developmental disabilities or mental health, I'd love to hear from you. So I'll leave that.
All right, thank you. Okay, at this point, we'd like to have a report on the expo. So instead of making Barb wait until the end like we always do, we'll give her a chance earlier. Yeah, right.
She could get a stigma from having to go last.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, just want a few things. We are heavy into planning for the 10th annual Disability Resource Expo, which will be October 15th at the Fluid Event Center. I have saved the date. I didn't bring enough to put out here, but I'll stick this one out here. Lots of things going on with the planning, and one of the things that we've kind of strived to do throughout the years, and it's kind of the last few years we've really sped up in this way is some fundraisers to kind of help support the expo and bring it up a level each year. So we are a couple I want to tell you about. One, the first one is that we will be having our second annual wine tasting and basket raffle on June 9th at the Art Mart from 4 to 7. That's a Thursday evening. Would love all of you to join us. And we do have, Nancy and I both have tickets available that you can get them from us. Last year we did really well, our first year with this wine tasting. And this year I think we're going to do even better. We have some wonderful baskets that have been assembled by our very own Nancy here. And we've had a lot of donations. We've had basket donations, which is, there's some, I think we have 17 baskets now, Nancy. So that's including, by the way, just as of yesterday, an autograph, it would be an Illini basket, an autographed football by Lovie Smith. That's going to be well sought after, I'm sure. We also have a Bears basket with an autographed picture. And so some really good things. So the wine tasting tickets are $20 each or $30 for a pair. The raffle tickets are $1 or $6 for $5. And so we'd love to got tickets here. Let us know. The other thing we're doing is we did a fundraiser with Schwann's ice cream. So it's called Schwann's Cares, and it's a way that Schwann's company gives back to the communities. And we did pretty good on that fundraiser. This year I think we're going to do even better. Beginning May 23rd, so that's next Monday, If you are a Swans customer or you want to be one, if you use a code, it's a campaign code, 27466, and I didn't get flyers printed because my printer was had a mind of its own this week. But anyway, 27466, if you use that confirmation code, 20% of what you buy online will go to the expo. And actually, you can do purchase a gift card, a $25 gift card, and $10 of that goes to us. So we will be profiting from this expo or from this fundraiser through October, actually. We'll get 20% through July 7th, and then we will get, after that, 5%. So it adds up. And so, as I said, if you are a Schwann's lover, please help us out with this. Any questions? I think that's all I have right now.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Looking forward to that event. Okay. At this point, we have some time for agency information, and any agencies that would like to report, please step on up.
Good morning, Patty Walters, DSC. I'm taken, it probably could have fallen under Employment First, but there's a few of us that have a conference call this morning, and I don't know how long we'll go. So I just wanted to announce very quickly that through the Employment First grant that you all support, that DSC has entered into a contract with Brian Degg, who is a doctor from the University of Vermont, and to help with the transformation toward more community inclusion. And a few of us went to a conference last October that he put together that was it's a every 2-year conference, but the focus was Employment First last October. And so we've talked to many different consultants and really decided that he would be a good match for what we're trying to accomplish here. They've closed all their sheltered workshops in Vermont a couple of years ago. There's, you know, not without, you know, without bumps and bruises along the way. And he has also helped with Ohio and Dark County. So I think that, you know, his name may be a little bit familiar. We're excited about working with him and just wanted to, I guess, let you all know that as we are doing more and more in the community through the integrated grant and through the Employment First initiative that we're all engaging in, that we have lots of ideas for the community stuff and really hoping that he's going to be able to help us prioritize because we can't do it all in one year. And so we've got several different angles we feel like we can kind of take in different paths and to narrow that and jump on one we're excited about. So year two should be awesome. So thank you. And I wish you well, Peter. Good luck with everything. So.
Thanks, Patty. Other agencies? Jen.
Jennifer Damp, Community Choices. I think most of you know this, but I just wanted to make it official that I will actually be leaving the community this summer, heading to Portland, Oregon. And my replacement starts today. So her name is Becca Obachowski. And she worked here in the community for several years and is just finishing her master's degree in special education. So she'll actually be here tonight for the mental health board meeting, but just wanted to let you know that that is all taking place, especially since there might not be a June meeting. So thank you.
Others? Okay, thank you. So financial report, I guess we're ahead on our claims, right? So nothing to deal with this month, so that's fine. So at this point, we'll go to new business and would love to hear about any integration transition successes at this point. We certainly look forward to the successes from what Patty talked about, but anybody else have anything to report?
Sorry, Jen again. I have had one person who just got a job at Lowe's and is starting right now, and another person who just moved into a home with another friend for the first time. So pretty excited to see how all those continue.
Great, thank you. Yes, go ahead, Sue.
Jen, I just want to wish you good luck. This is just a statement. Good luck in Portland. It's good for you. It's not so good for our community. But thank you for everything you've done to move us along in Champaign.
Okay, any others at this point? All right, are we ready? Okay, it's time for our allocation decisions. Hopefully, people have had a chance to look at the decision memorandum that starts on page 7. As I say, we've certainly asked the staff, and we've had input from board members trying to look at our priorities and how some of these things come together. And if I am following all the pages correctly, the first recommendation is one that we've been trying to work on staff with, which is to have an emergency services set aside, as I discussed. So at this point, you know, we will go through these one by one, and we'll need a roll call for them. But you know, because of the way that Robert's rules won't necessarily match up with all this, do we have any sort of overall questions or discussion from any of the board members at this point as we get started on the discussion? Okay, so we're ready to go through, and Gary, absolutely, you're welcome to comment.
Thank you. Can you tell me what who all was involved in these decisions? Was it specific members of our staff? Was it from outside groups? Or tell me a little bit about the process.
Sure, that's fair. You know, certainly most of the process was here in this meeting publicly last month. And we certainly asked the questions. I think people picked up on them about whether we have a need for emergency services and so forth. And I asked Lynn specifically to go back and see what would make sense with that. And I believe you've had some conversations with the Regional Planning Commission and some others about how that might actually work. Mike and I have also had some budget discussion with Nancy and with Peter to make sure that we understand these numbers. And as I say, all the numbers are indeed in the packet, so nothing in the table is anything new or anything we came up with. It's just summary from those discussions. And I understand that Lynn has sought out input from various individual board members, and I've seen a few emails from the public that have come around. So it's kind of generic. We haven't done a lot of specific stuff. It's been a little bit of, you know, one-off back and forth stuff. Does that answer the question? Okay, thanks. Okay, am I reading correctly? Our first thing is on page 15. Okay, let's go ahead and get started with that. The first one is emergency services set aside. And at this point, I would like to entertain a motion on that, and somebody needs to read the sentence into the record. It's there.
A motion to approve the set aside of $50,000 to be used for emergency respite services as presented.
Okay. I don't think we need seconds for these motions since they're coming kind of from the committee. But because they're potentially from staff, a second can't hurt. So is there a second? Sue, seconds? Any discussion on this one? All right. Let's go ahead and take the roll call then for it.
Joyce Dill?
Aye.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes. That one's approved. Okay, our second one, and we've tried to mix these up a little bit in order since some of them always end up, you know, with alphabetical order, it's always a little bit screwed up. So the next one is United Cerebral Palsy of Land of Lincoln Vocational Services. The request is for $91,000. The recommendation is $86,000. Remind us, Lynn.
That's the current year level.
Right.
Right.
So the recommendation is to approve a renewal based on the current year level. based on the vocational services that they've provided. Can I get somebody to go ahead and read in the motion? Anybody? Top of page.
Motion 16. To approve funding of $86,475 for United Cerebral Palsy Land of Lincoln Vocational Services as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right, Stephanie, roll call.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Rouge?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joyce Still?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes. That one's approved. The PACE request. This has also been changed a little bit, as you see. And I think the primary discussion, and again, all of us picked up on this, and we had a little bit of discussion at the last meeting. I think all of us noticed a certain redundancy in IEP and transition services, and we're sorting some of this out. And the request for staff was to think about what's ongoing, what we should be thinking about new, and what might make sense to kind of put off. And Gary, you had pointed out, I think, in the last meeting that there was a fair amount of redundancy in some of these issues as well. So this is one of those where that where the recommendation has been changed substantially. Lynn, did you want to comment anymore?
You already said it, but there was substantial discussion after this. The idea that was presented in this application as it's a very important idea, and there were some parallel concerns from the community, so we wanted to make sure that people understand we're making a commitment to work on this issue. And we may do that with a work group composed of representatives from agencies and other interested stakeholders so that we can come up with a solution that actually does, that everybody feels invested in, and that will actually result in cost effectiveness and better transitions. Because that's the goal, right?
Right. Okay. So I want to make sure that you know, the five of us keep in mind that in our sort of long-term agenda, we need a little bit of service coordination associated with these kinds of things, and we'll have to understand priorities going forward. But obviously, we've got to work with our means for the moment. So again, can I get someone to read in the motion?
Approve funding for $40,546 for persons assuming control of their environment, PACE, opportunities for independence as presented.
Second.
Second by Joyce. Any discussion? Sure.
Phil, I would just like to say I love the idea of looking at the redundancy for IEPs, and I also like this paragraph, this recommendation, when it talks about conflict-free case management, and maybe we could wrap that all together and take a look at where we want to go with that.
Okay, thank you. Other comments? All right, Stephanie, let's go
Deb
ahead.
Deb Rouge?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joyce Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes. Okay, so that's approved. Illinois Associated Micro Boards and Cooperatives. New program request for $64,278, and there's a, is that a typo or a change in the number there? Okay, it's a typo. So both numbers should be 278, right?
Let me make sure the spreadsheet.
Page 22, right? That's the other one. 278. So both numbers should be 278. Okay. Again, I need someone to read the motion in.
Motion to approve the funding of $64,278 as a special incentive for Illinois Association of Microboards and Cooperatives, IMAC, Building Inclusive Communities.
Is there a second?
Second,
Deb. Okay. Discussion? Mike?
Sure. I have one. I believe that we should identify this as a pilot-type program, meaning we need to see how it works. We need to see what happens. We need to see what the commitment is, and so on and so forth. It's new money, and it's a hard thing for us to do. It's really hard to commit new money and then also to over commit our estimated tax dollars. If we didn't think it was a good thing, we wouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, implied by that, the notion of a pilot program means, of course, one time, that we don't want to get a misinterpretation that this will then become an ongoing thing. We very much would like to see reports on results and get a much better sense of how this is working for the community. Other discussion?
Deb?
Yes. after this was presented last month, there was considerable discussion about trying to ensure that this particular project reaches out to the underrepresented, underserved, which is a bigger reach and more challenging. And so for me to support this, we've kind of asked for language in here that really, really emphasizes the need for such, working with Chandra and so forth to ensure that.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Other discussion? Okay, Stephanie, roll call.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joy Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes.
All right, the next one, again, Illinois Association of Microgrowers and Cooperatives, another new program. This is one that we felt was going to exceed our allocation priorities, and have the staff recommendation is to deny that. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that, Lynn?
No, I don't really have any additional comments. I think this was one that presented some really high quality training with a model that's worked well elsewhere, but there were some practical concerns around it. Primarily making, how do we make sure that the right people are available and have enough time to complete the training, the people to whom it's going to matter the most. So that seemed like maybe we want to see this again next year.
Right. I think the other concern was that it seemed like the, excuse me, the actual number of people would ultimately reach was fairly limited. But I think the point is taken that the training quality certainly was interesting. It's something that we might want to see in the future. Okay. So again, can I get somebody to read that motion in?
Motion to deny funding for Illinois Association of Microboards and Cooperatives Champaign County Advocacy Training as presented in this memorandum.
Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. Again, the motion is to deny, so if you're in favor of the motion, it will deny the support. Okay, Stephanie?
Joy Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes.
The motion carries as presented. Next one, Developmental Services Center Service Coordination. The request is for $410,838. And as we discussed last time in our meeting, we're very interested in trying to push some of this toward conflict-free case management. At this point, the recommendation is to approve that funding. And again, can I get someone to read that in?
I make a motion to approve funding for Developmental Services Center for $410,838. As presented in this recommendation.
Second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Stephanie?
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joy Still?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes.
Okay. Motion's approved. The integrated site services was a multi-year contract that we had approved previously, so we don't need to reapprove that. It's set. So the next one farther down the page is for 387,428 for individual and family support. This one is one that we're committed to support through the Mental Health Board, which formally means that we need to deny it, okay? But I want to make sure it's clear to everybody that doesn't mean we're against the program. It just means we're trying to set up the allocations, because as I mentioned, the Mental Health Board is committed to allocating a certain amount of funding to DD-related services. And because in part this is for people with multiple diagnosis and has overlap with the Mental Health Board, we have that agreement to proceed with that. So the motion is buried in the sentence in the middle there, okay? And I don't want it misinterpreted, but I do need somebody to read it in.
Motion to deny funding for Developmental Services Center individual and family support as presented in this memorandum.
Second.
Second. Okay, any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Deb Roche?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joyce Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Phil Krine?
Yes.
Okay, so again, I don't want anybody to misinterpret that. We expect positive discussion this afternoon in the other meeting. Developmental Services Center, Family Development Center, which supports services for young children. This is basically in addition to any services that are covered by the school systems, so it leverages those things. And the motion, the recommendation is to support that funding request. And again, I need someone to read in that motion.
A motion to approve funding for Developmental Services Center, $562,280. This is for Family Development Center.
There a second?
Second.
Second, Sue? Okay, any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Joyce Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roche?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Phil Krine?
Yes.
Okay, the Community Choices and Developmental Services Joint Employment First Activity was a multi-year contract that we've approved previously, so we don't need to revisit that. Developmental Services Center Connections Program, which we heard about during our last meeting. The staff has recommended approval of this, and can I go ahead and get a motion read in, top of page 18.
Motion to approve funding of $87,550 for Connections by DSC.
All right, thanks. A second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joyce Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roche?
Yes.
Phil Krine?
Yes.
All right, Developmental Services Center Community Employment. This is in addition to the Employment First activity and expands some of their work in these areas. It does certainly require collaboration and will be monitoring that as contracts are agreed to and this is put together. So again, I need someone to read in the motion.
I'll make a motion. Motion to approve funding for Developmental Services Center Community Employment as presented. Should I read the amount? $229,484.
Thanks. Second?
Second.
Second by Joyce. Any discussion? I feel like I should have a little green card that we should hand around for the motion, but. All right, Stephanie?
Deb Roche?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joyce Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Phil Krine?
Yes.
Okay, next one, Developmental Services Center Clinical Services. This is important in the sense of how it matches up with our family support requirements, and the staff has recommended funding at the requested amount. So again, can I get the motion read in?
Motion to approve $178,986 to fund the Developmental Services Center Clinical Services.
Second.
Second, thank you. Any discussion? Okay, Stephanie.
Joy Still.
Yes.
Sue Suter.
Yes.
Deb Rusch.
Yes.
Mike Smith.
Yes.
Phil Krein.
Yes.
All right, apartment services. Certainly, as we grow our opportunities for residential settings, which hopefully the state will get their act together with the House bill and other things, we'll actually be able to expand support. It will certainly be really important to coordinate and collaborate with these kinds of services, as in, I think in the long run, they're going to be some of our really big ticket items. In any event, the staff has recommended approval of this, and we will be pushing very much in the contract provisions for collaboration across agencies here. So can someone please read the motion in?
Motion to approve funding for Developmental Services Center Apartment Services in the amount of $417,341.
Thanks. A second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Sue Suter.
Yes.
Deb Rusch.
Yes.
Mike Smith.
Yes.
Joy Still.
Yes.
Phil Krein.
Yes.
Okay, community elements. This is primarily service coordination, which is certainly really important. Community elements does tend to address people with multiple diagnoses and those with more significant needs. And certainly we know there's a need for growth in that arena as well. The staff has recommended that we approve the funding as requested. And can I get the motion read in, please?
Yes. Motion to approve funding for community elements, $32,903 for coordination of services, DDMI.
And a second? Thank you. Any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Deb Rusch?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joy Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes.
Community choices, self-determination support. Once again, this is part of the agreement with the Mental Health Board, so I don't want anyone to misinterpret the motion to deny. In fact, it's being covered on the basis of being really a multiple activity that cuts across DD and MHB, and will be, there is an agreement, and we presume there'll be a positive action this afternoon in the other meeting. So can I get that motion read in, please?
Motion to deny funding for community choices, community living as presented in this recommendation memorandum. By agreement, the Champaign County Mental Health Board will provide funding support for this program at $70,000.
Okay, we'll take the first part of that as the motion. But it is important to have that other in the record. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Sorry?
The motion is this particular program is self-determination support, and the motion is for community living.
Right.
You just need to...
Oh, you're right. There's a typo in it. Yep. Excuse me. Of course. Thanks for pointing that out. Okay.
This typo has a different origin. This is from flipping the alphabet.
Yeah.
Commitment we made.
Okay. Sue, would you be willing to reread that sentence? Because, there's no such thing as friendly amendments, and amendments don't make sense anyway. Just reread it, putting the word self-determination in there, and just that first sentence with a motion. Okay, would you be willing to do that, please?
Motion to deny funding for community choices, self-determination as presented in this memorandum.
Okay. The first motion was out of order because it was a typo. That one works. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Thanks for pointing that out. It gave us a little bit of wake-up time, right? That's good. Stephanie?
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joy Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Phil Kroin?
Yes.
Okay. Customized employment. This one looks like it's set up right.
And the amount looks right, too.
Yeah, same issue, same situation, right? The funding is being deferred to the Mental Health Board. Formally, we need to deny it. Can I get that motion read in, please?
Yes. I move to deny funding for Community Choices Incorporated Customized Employment as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Stephanie?
Joy Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Phil Kroin?
Yes.
Okay. Now community living. This one we're picking up. Again, the intent is to have more providers for independent living in integrated settings. And again, similar contract provisions as we discussed with the DSC, apartment services, in terms of agency collaboration is going to be very important to us. So can we have that motion read in, please?
Move to approve funding for Community Service Choices, Inc., Community Living in the amount of $63,000.
Is there a second? Sue seconds. Any discussion? Stephanie?
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joy Still?
Yes.
Phil Kroin?
Yes.
Okay, the next one is Head Start. We will make sure that, I'm sorry, the suggestion, again, that this one is going to fall in the same category, namely that we'll deny services and defer this to the Mental Health Board, partly on the basis, again, of the breadth of the needs. The details, the contract is going to have to make it clear that we can't substitute for funds that should be coming from the school system. So we'll be deferring this again to the Mental Health Board, but I need someone to read in that motion at the top of page 20 then.
I move that we deny funding for Champaign County Head Start Social Emotional Disabilities Services as presented in the memorandum.
Any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joy Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Phil Kroin?
Yes.
Okay, next one is a request from the Down Syndrome Network for self-advocacy and family support. And the recommendation is to approve it as presented. So can we have that motion read in, please?
My turn. Mm-hmm. Motion to approve funding for Champaign County Down Syndrome Network as presented in this memo for $15,000.
Second. Yes. Okay, Joyce seconds. Any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Mike Smith?
Approved.
Joyce Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Phil Kroin?
Yes.
Okay, CTF Illinois Nursing Care. The request is for $6,000. This supports independent living in the home that they have in our community. And the recommendation is to approve that as presented. And I need the motion read in, please.
I move to approve funding in the amount of $6,000 for CTF Illinois Nursing Program as presented.
Any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Joy Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Phil Kroin?
Yes.
Okay, CTF Illinois Advocacy Center. This again comes within the purview of some of the redundancy that we noticed at our last meeting and discussed. And the recommendation is to approve partial funding, and again, to work with them in contract terms to provide the kind of coordination that we've been discussing. So that'll take place. And it is intended, again, I believe, as a special initiative. So Mike's comments about pilot program and reporting needs certainly bring to bear. But I need the motion read in, please.
Motion to approve partial funding at $75,000 as a special initiative for CTF Illinois Advocacy Center as presented.
Second. 2 seconds. Okay, any discussion?
And I know this is because the wording we used, but I think in negotiations, if we could change the adult day programming, I think it there's a more representative term to be able to use.
I only included that because that's one of the stated priorities, so I was just trying to show if there was a direct alignment with something that was identified in November.
Right.
So we can certainly work on the language.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that's our own language, and we need to fix it. I agree.
I know.
Okay, other discussion?
Just the comment that there's a lot of worth in this program. It looks to me like there's great potential, and I'm really hoping that CTF can find a way to house that program in a less expensive setting than what was listed in the proposal.
You might remember that we had some discussion last month that the question was the location and the rental requirements, and I think one of the reasons for the recommendation being a little bit lower was to encourage them to seek out those kind of quarters that might be able to bring those costs down. Good point. Other discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Rouge?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joy Still?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes.
Okay, Regional Planning Commission, Community Services, Decision Support. This certainly is very much along the lines of what we feel is needed in terms of conflict-free management, case management, and the recommendation is to go ahead and approve that. So can I get that motion read in, please?
Motion to approve funding for CCRPC Community Services Decision Support Person for our board as presented.
And a second? Okay. And just for the record, the amount is $48,622. Any discussion? Okay, Stephanie?
Deb Rouge?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joy Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes.
All right, Autism Society of Illinois, the request was for $12,000. The recommendation is to approve it. Before I bring it up, I think I'm not being out of line to mention that group is thinking about whether they need to make this more local. There are some issues partly caused by the state budget and other things in terms of the state organization. And that kind of thing will be dealt with during the contract negotiation. So can we get that motion read in, please?
I move to approve funding the amount of $12,000 for the Autism Society of Illinois Champaign-Urbana Autism Network as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joy Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Rouge?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes.
Okay, that covers our major ones here, so thanks very much for that. I think we were able to go through that well. At this point, you notice that there is a authorization activity that provides a certain flexibility, and I think that I hope you had a chance to look at that, but we're trying to make sure that the executive director has capability to make appropriate contract negotiations within the amounts that we provided. So I need that motion read in as well.
Move to authorize the executive director to implement contract maximum reductions as described in the special notification concerning FY17 awards section of the this memorandum.
Second. Okay, any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Joyce Still?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes.
All right, thank you. The next one, we jump to page 24, and this is the projected budget as outlined. And we are approving basically that we set up our expenditures based on this projection. Of course, the reality will be different, that's guaranteed. But we have to start somewhere, and these are the fees. It also approves then our share of the administrative expense. I should mention, I didn't do this before, that administrative expense, $354,000, is about $20,000 less than last year. We spent some effort trying to make sure that we understood all the line items and made some adjustments. And we'll still be working on this in the future, but I want to make sure it's clear that it's not really all administration. We identified roughly $120,000 of that amount that is tied to program. And we'll be trying to tease that out a little bit more effectively in our communications in the future. So I didn't mention it during my talk, but if you take that adjustment, you find that we are spending about 6.3% of our allocated tax revenues toward administration. And frankly, I think that's a really impressive number. I'm glad to see numbers at that sort of level. I think we're making really good use of our programs and being diligent about not spending more than we need to get the job done. So at this point, again, we need that motion read in to the record.
I move we approve the...
I guess
I move to approve the county fiscal year 2017 disabilities budget with anticipated revenues of $3,687,624 and professional and programs fees of $354,017 to be paid to the Chemehuevin County Mental Health Board as specified in the terms and conditions of the intergovernmental agreement between the boards.
Is there a second? Second from Sue. Any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joyce Still?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes. Okay, page 26 is a little bit more complicated. We're trying to provide some flexibility to our search committee. And we've worked with Peter. Peter has agreed to be available as an interim executive director on an hourly basis beginning the 1st of July. You see the hourly rate there, and we've limited it formally in this memorandum to no more than 600 hours. Hopefully we won't need that much. It depends on how the search goes, but we need to make sure there's some flexibility. And at this point, I need somebody to make that motion.
May I say something? Sure, let's get the motion ready and have some discussion.
Motion to approve and authorize a temporary employment agreement with Peter Tracy as described above.
Second.
Okay, discussion? And Gary, yes, absolutely. You're welcome to comment.
Could you turn on your microphone, Gary?
Patsy just mentioned to me that when we set up a similar resolution for Deb Busey, we had to put some time between Peter's actual retirement, or actually in that case, Deb's actual retirement, and when she was able to come back on an interim basis. So you might want to look into that. With all due respect, I I'm not trying to throw a wrench into this thing. I'm just trying to be helpful. So thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know there's some rules I'm familiar with at the university about gap time between the date of retirement and any official paid employment, and Peter will have to look at that. At the same time, the motion is to authorize it, and it may need some adjustment on that basis. Now, what that would do is it would change the July 1 date to something later. So we need to make it clear that there's some flexibility to do that. Lynn?
So I don't know if this is really a roadblock, but the only meeting that you're required to have by statute is the July meeting, and the only required activity is elections. So it may be that we really need to think about a later date in July. It has to be in July per statute, but I don't know what the gap requirement is, but if we have to have an executive director serving during that meeting, we may need to reschedule it.
Okay, good point. And we need to find out what the gap is, but I feel like we do need to go ahead with the authorization, although it may need to be adjusted somewhat. Other discussion? Yeah, thanks, Gary, for pointing that out. That can be very significant. All right, Stephanie?
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Joyce Dill?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Rouche?
Yes.
Phil Krein?
Yes.
All right, Lynn, keep me honest. I think we are through our new business. So at this point, I'd like to move to old business. Any additional information on the executive director search that anybody would like to share, Mike or Deb? Okay.
I think what we said earlier, most of the things that we've done so far have been administrative type things, figuring out how we're going to go about identifying people who might want the opportunity.
The announcement at this point is part of the public record. I don't think it's in our packets, but of course it's been out to the newspapers and so forth, and we need to make sure that people get a copy of that. I didn't make any extras. I should have probably made some extra copies to bring today. But in any case, the position description, the announcement, is now out in the public record. Okay. Third quarter IDDD program activity reports. We have some information items in our packets. Does anything else need to be added to that?
I processed them since the board packet was put together, and I think they're all correct.
Okay, thanks. We heard earlier an employment first update from Patty. Was there anything in addition? Yeah, sure, Jen.
Jennifer Knapp, Community Choices. Just want to let you know that we have still two individual and family information sessions that you might want to know about, or other people might. So the first one is next Tuesday, May 24th, and that's going to be sharing some local success stories and also helping individuals and families understand the employment process a little more. So that is going to be at 7:00 at Hayes Center next Tuesday, May 24th. And then the final one is going to be Tuesday, June 28th. Same place, Hayes Center at 7:00, and actually Brian Digg, the person who DSE has acquired as a consultant, will be presenting at that meeting. So just want to make you guys aware of those two that are coming up before the end of the fiscal year.
Okay, thank you. Scylla update. Lynn or Peter, anything to talk about with that?
So far as I know, they're about to implement the second house. I drive by there every day, and I saw activity. They've moved furniture in. They've also hired additional staff. Actually development staff. So we'll keep you posted. That's about all I can tell you right now. But it looks like it's moving along.
We heard that Monday was supposed to be the opening, so people could be. You might have seen people moving in. Is that
I just haven't talked to IAG directly, so, but I'm, it looked like the house was occupied.
It's been a very long process, but it's certainly certainly valuable to begin seeing that kind of impact. And again, as I've mentioned several times, but for those of you who haven't heard me say it, the notion of trying to catalyze some of the increase in capacity is important. I think that Champaign-Urbana has a lot of opportunity to have sort of the 2 and 3 bed kinds of facilities. Much harder for us to justify larger ones, which is good because the smaller ones really are considered the appropriate practice these days in any event. So I hope that we'll be able to hear more about those in the coming months and learn more about that. Okay, PUNS update. There is a very interesting set of reports in the back of your packet. And I don't want to go through anything in very much detail, except to point out one line on page 46, which says selection by length of time on PUNS. And you'll notice that the big number down there is people who've been on that list for more than 4 years. The state is, how shall I say, not clearing people off the list in the way that we in this community really feel is needed. That certainly is an issue that we're going to be talking about with the Ligas Monitor. Part of the consent decree the state entered into was to kind of get past this list to the point where we were routinely serving people. But as you see implied from these tables, that list continues to build up, and there are lots of people who've been on it for a long, long time. Everything else there is for information. Meeting schedules, we have copies of the meetings in the packet. We will not be meeting in June. Our meeting in July is set up for noon on July 20th based on room availability. And I certainly want to point out the Mental Health Board meeting, which is this afternoon at 5:30 in this room. And it would be certainly valuable for many of us. If you can attend that, that would be great. Board announcements. Yeah, sure, Gary, go ahead.
Well, I'm not a board member, but I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Dr. Krein, I want to compliment you on your leadership that you've given this board in the last year, maybe 2 years. I can't remember exactly when you came on, but you've done a very professional, very competent job, and I really appreciate been able to work with you, and so I wish you well. I hope that you'll consider staying, but again, you've been a great asset to this board. The rest of the board, I want to compliment all of you. You've worked hard, you've worked together, you've done a very competent job on the budget, and I think it's something I need to tell you. I think I really appreciate the hard work this board has done and the competent leadership that Phil has provided. So thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Anybody else? Okay, well, I do have some board announcement stuff myself. As some of you have noticed, my term is ending June 30th, and I am not seeking renewal. So indeed, this is my last meeting as well. And I know the next 3 years will involve probably even more change than the preceding three, and I don't mean to drop this on everybody, but I think we have some exciting challenges ahead. Certainly been very valuable experience for me personally, and I'm grateful to our other board members and our exceptional staff, our very dedicated providers, and certainly our citizens in this county who believe the issues enough to give it priority and vote up the levy, granted with lots of boots on the ground type work. And Gary, yes, you've been challenging us all year, and that's fine. We need to respond to those kinds of things. It's certainly very important. And I appreciate the fact that we've been able to build consensus. I think that's important moving ahead, especially given the major changes that are going on in developmental disabilities, mental health, and providers. I guess I also wanted to add that I've been very pleased at many of the things that we've heard out of the county and the county board give you one very simple example. I think our county really understands and believes that the jail is, sorry, that's a lot. Frog in my throat, is not the right last place of care for people with issues. And I think we're being much more proactive about getting the things ahead of time and looking to the future. And it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be free, and there's plenty to do. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Joyce.
Phil, I too would like to thank you for your service. This has been a great boon to our board, having you. And Jennifer, we will miss you. Our loss is Oregon's gain. You've done a wonderful job. You are a true advocate, and I appreciate that so much. So thank you. And Peter, I wish you well.
I do this every year, so it's sort of an annual thing for me. This is my happiest day being on this when we're able to pass through these dollars. I just want everybody to remember that what we're doing is passing money through agencies to clients and clients' families. When you're, as an agency, you have responsibilities, and so do we, but we're really pleased to be able to pass that money through and do good. Yeah, oh, one last thing. You said you wouldn't seek. That doesn't mean you wouldn't do.
I don't know whether I should answer that. I will tell you I've got work assignments that will keep me out of town way too much. Anybody else? Thanks so much, Peter, for all your work, and you'll be around, I'm sure, to help us a bit, and I appreciate that. So a motion to adjourn, please.
Okay. Second.
All right. Those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank
Remember
you.
The old political.